Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hey, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, Kathy Ronke of the Douglas County Health and Human Services Department just told us one lesson of the pandemic is to be able to get information to people who don't have a computer. Yet even if you do, it won't do any good in some parts of our listening area because you can't get a signal. What's the latest on getting broadband out there, at least in part of the region?
Well, in Superior, officials have been exploring building a city-owned fiber network to provide high-speed internet. And the city has been moving forward with that because they say that residents have been paying too much for mediocre internet access. And so what this would do is the city would explore installation of fiber infrastructure that could be used by multiple internet service providers. And so in that sense, it would potentially create competition and hopefully lower prices for residents. The city's consultant, Entry Point Networks, has been looking into this, and they say that they could save people, you know, from going from an average of about $80 or so or more a month down to $55 a month for homes and $75 for businesses at 10 times the speed. So going from like 100 megabits upload to 1,000 megabits upload and 1,000 megabits download, which is a pretty good internet speed. But it's drawing some sticker shock from some city council members who are afraid about the price tag associated with it. You know, it could entail bonding about $31 million, but Superior's Mayor Jim Payne has said that they don't expect that to actually be the case, that they would not really consider that they're looking for a lot of federal funding and potentially could be supported in part with funding through the COVID-19 relief that's coming down.
Well, that makes sense, since one of the reasons that we're talking about this is to get information out on COVID-19. Everything has a price tag. And moving up to Ashland County, the officials there want to get the public's input on some pricey issues.
Yeah, they are looking to ask voters in the spring election whether they would be willing to raise property taxes by nearly $1 million each year for the next 5 years. Because they say that the county has reached what they call a fiscal crisis. So they're putting this referendum before voters in the April election, and they held a listening session this week to gauge people's input about whether or not they would support this. And they got some questions from people about whether any of that COVID-19 relief money that's coming to local governments could be used to help fix their budget problems. But that money has restrictions on it where it needs to be used for the COVID-19 emergency. So that could go to like aid to small businesses and industries like tourism and hospitality. And so Ashland County's Administrator Clark Schroeder is saying that they're in a tough spot and they really need to raise this money. Otherwise, they're going to have to start cutting services that they're not required to fund by state law. And that would include things like services provided through the Ashland County Aging Unit, the Bay Area Rural Transit, which provides public transit in the area. And officials with those nonprofits or agencies are really concerned about that, including Jay Mathias, the executive director of the Ashland County Aging Unit. She said that a reduction in funding would decrease the overall meals and cause them to close meal sites for seniors and put them on a waiting list. So she's afraid that seniors might go hungry if the county moves forward with that option, should this referendum fail.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't hear wetland restoration as part of that laundry list of services that the government might provide, but the Audubon Society isn't waiting for that to happen.
No, they issued a report this week outlining their plan to restore and protect a dozen areas across the Great Lakes that would support Great Lakes birds. And, you know, the region is home to 350 bird species, and, you know, marsh birds in particular are a great indicator species for the health of coastal wetlands, which not only benefit these bird species, but also people living around these areas because they serve important functions by providing flood protection and they filter out pollutants. And so they're proposing, I believe it's 42 projects in 12 sites across the Great Lakes, and that includes the St. Louis River estuary and Green Bay. And, you know, one of the largest projects they've proposed or prioritized in the estuary seeks to restore about 850 acres of marsh in Alois Bay in Superior that would support the Black Tern, which hasn't been seen in the St. Louis River estuary since the 1990s. So they're moving forward with this plan and trying to work with partners who are already working on restoration and also seeking funding through the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative to help fund some of these efforts.
All right. Well, this Robin will keep his eyes out for the Black Tern. Brooks, while we're talking about watery places, there's a surfer who made some waves on the Big Lake this week.
Yeah, what could have been a tragic story ended up being one of heroism on Wednesday after a 26-year-old Minneapolis man who drove up to Duluth to surf the big waves this week. He was in the right place at the right time when a woman approached him and said, you know, can you please help? My dog went over the pier. My health aide went over after him, and both of them are having trouble getting out. He dropped his surfboard. He was about to jump in for one more wave heading off of the ship canal, and he jumped in and was able to pull both the 29-year-old man and the dog to safety. Police and fire officials say that, you know, if he hadn't been there, this could have been a much different story. The surfer, Darby Vokes, he said he was an amateur surfer, but, you know, he's also run Ironman challenges. So definitely grateful that he was there and he was able to use the skills he's honed over time. No injuries were reported. You know, they were treated for potential hypothermia. The lake is still about 33 degrees despite the lack of ice, and the waves were just extreme. So if you take a look at the harbor cam, you can kind of make out the rescue happening as it was ongoing, just on the Park Point side of the Duluth Ship Canal.
Wow. And if you want a good place to view rescues like that, or better, the lake when nobody needs to be saved, you can head back to the Lake Walk on Canal Park.
Yeah, good news for folks who actually like walking around a you know, finished path and not just that dearth carriage trail around Canal Park. The Lake Walk is finishing up a $16 million renovation and expansion after storm damaged it back in 2017 and 2018. So right now, there's still a fence up. There's still some work to be done. Folks have been getting around the fence and walking on the nearly complete trail. Please don't do that. But by Grandma's Marathon, by mid-June, we should be able to get out on that beautiful stretch of waterfront, which has been reinforced with massive boulders to prevent more storms from upturning the boardwalk and the asphalt in the years to come.
All right. And finally, you have a story that's going to neatly tie together everything we've been talking about, telling us about how the vaccination rollout is affecting tourism.
Yeah, we figured that there would be some sort of increase, you know, in interest in heading up north this on the North Shore this spring and summer. And lo and behold, you know, we're hearing that advanced bookings are way up, especially among those 65 and older. Those who are getting their vaccines are trying to get their life back to normal. And so North Shore resorts are seeing, you know, a sustained interest in taking vacations that harkens back to, you know, pre-pandemic times when they'd be booked out every week and weekend throughout the summer. Restaurants are seeing it too, and so far, you know, that interest is moving past Duluth. We're still at very low hotel occupancy rates, especially during the week, because, you know, business travel and conferences have yet to resume. Once that really kicks in, you know, that's, I think, the real return to normal folks are waiting. But until then, you're getting a lot of folks still taking driving distance vacations, which for, you know, a lot of folks is the North Shore and the South Shore.
Okay. We've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks so much, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport. And be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. Next week on Simply Superior. Did we just talk about wetlands and the lake? What do you do when that wetland is your basement? We'll hear from two stormwater experts from Superior and Duluth, cities right next to each other, but with very different topographies, on where that spring shower water is supposed to go. That's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the poetry of logic in third person. Stay safe, everyone.
We have got to move on. We have got to get strong because we are the children of ancestors. The sweat, blood, with broken backs that built this nation. And they were always looking forward toward the future that would be full of the hope that our present should have brought us. But we have squandered our gifts. We've been so busy leaning and rocking that no one is at home raising our children. And at that point, the system wins, and we all gonna get done in. If we don't learn to, if we don't yearn to, change all of our mental conditions.